John chapter 21, please. I'm going to cheat a little bit on our week-by-week study simply because I've worked through the week in preparing for this evening's message. And then when I looked at the list, I said, I'm getting the wrong one ready. This week and next week is on either the duty of the pastor or the qualifications of the pastor. And in my mind, I had that it was the duties first and then the qualifications or whatever you want to call them. And anyway, then I looked today at the list and it said on that list that I handed out way back when that the qualifications was actually supposed to be tonight. But we'll do that next week, the good Lord willing. Yeah, I'm breaking my rules here. So anyway, tonight, as we continue on with our study, the duty of the pastor. It's not been that long ago we had pastor appreciation. And in that, I preached on the purpose of the pastor on Sunday morning. And I'll look at it a little bit different light. It's impossible to tackle some subjects in one single service. And one of these, one of the subjects as big as this, it's hard to deal with everything. So we'll look at things in a slightly different light than what we looked at them there a few months ago. If you want to read with me in John chapter 21, this will be a beginning point for us. In John 21, verse number 15, this is following the resurrection of Christ. He appears to his church and to his disciples. In John 21:15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." Amen. As we talk this evening about the duty of the pastor, we'll get to this in just a moment, but I think it is imperative and certainly important, so important that Christ would pin Peter down and ask him the same thing three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And the answer to that was yes, yes, yes. And then Christ responded by saying, then feed my sheep. And as we talk about the duty of the pastor, that'll be one of the first and most prominent things that I believe it is the duty of the pastor to do, and that is to feed God's sheep, Amen. To feed the sheep. And we'll get into that more here in just a minute. But let it be understood as I begin this that I don't pretend to be an expert on all the duties of a pastor. Every pastor is different. Every man is different. Everyone has you, and we all do. This is true not only of the pastor, it's true. We all have our own strengths. We all have our own weaknesses. You and I, as individuals, that's true. And every pastor will be different in that way, too. Every pastor will have areas that he's stronger in than other areas. That's just true. Brother Tom Harmon, is that the first pastor that was here? I'm not Brother Tom Harmon. I'm not Brother Gordon. I'm not Brother Randy. I am just who I am. I don't try to be anybody. I don't try to be these other men. I don't try to be my father. I try to be who I am. But I've got strengths, and I've got weaknesses, too. Every man does. And that's not true of only me personally. As a Christian, that'll be true of the office that I try to fulfill. There'll be some areas that you'll say, why don't he do this? Right. And there'll be some other areas that you'll say, he's doing a good job at that. It's always going to be that way. And so you just have to love me, and I love you, with all of our weaknesses. And God knows I want to be a good pastor. I long to be a good pastor. I want to do that. I want to please my Lord. I want to please my... He's called me to this. And I want to serve him, and I want to please him. I want to do what's right. I can't do that by being something I'm not. You understand that? And I'm going to make some mistakes along the way, and you have to be forgiving and patient. I think, Brother Sammy, I thought as I was preparing this message about I'd only been here a few months last year, when they went on that strike, they went on that government shutdown, and wasn't terribly bright of me to stand up here and say, well, it don't matter to me if they stay shut down, you know, not realizing how it was affecting some of the members. After Brother Sammy very kindly and gently said, you may not realize this, but it is affecting you probably more than you realize, I started thinking about it. And I said, man, what a naughty head thing to say right out of the chute. But we're going to make some mistakes. I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to. If you think otherwise, you will be disappointed. We went over to this piano recital this afternoon, and the lady that was getting up, and don't take this in any way, I don't mean to be crude, but she just misspoke. The lady was talking about one of the families. They had about five or six kids that got up to play the piano, and she said, this is like the Von Krapp family. And she meant to say the Von Trapp family. But you understand, sometimes you misspeak. And I thought, oh, I feel so sorry for her, because I understand how that is. Sometimes what comes out of here is not necessarily what rolled through there. And that happens to everybody. And if you preach, speak publicly, you're going to make some mistakes. And I know sometimes it's like this morning, I'm trying to say Naomi and I say Ruth, or I'm trying to say Ruth. I'm going to do this. Just inevitable. And the same thing is in dispensing the office of pastorate. There'll be areas that, you know, he does okay, and that'll be other areas that I'm just not as strong as. But I need patience and I need love, and you all have exhibited that. And I just pray you to continue to. But I will say that any man that is worth his salt takes seriously the office of the pastor. Takes it seriously. This job is no job for a hireling. It's no job for somebody who doesn't care about the people and is only interested in cashing a check. There are some that are that way. They're just hirelings. They look at it and say, man, that preaching looks like you don't have to work but about twice a week, and just go, you know, go show up and say a few things, go home, cash a check, and make it. Maybe that's how some of them do, but that's not how it really is. So as we press forward with some of these things, realize that maybe I'm not everything that you would have me to be. I'm not everything I want to be. But I do want to be a good pastor. I want to feed the sheep. I can tell you that. That's one of my great desires as a pastor, is to feed the sheep, to feed God's people. And one of the things that I have learned is that sheep like sheep food. Goat will eat anything. Remember that old episode of Andy Griffith when that goat, they thought that goat ate the dynamite? Old Barney's running around scared to death. Goat eat anything. Isn't that a pretty accurate statement of the sheep and the goats? A goat eat about anything. But a sheep like sheep food. And if you'll allow me just a minute or two of a personal journey, in my ministry I've changed, and I've mentioned this to you all. I like preaching expositionally through the book. I like going verse by verse through the book. It keeps me balanced. It keeps your diet balanced. Do you understand that? Eventually, you have to deal with everything. The Bible covers everything that we face in this life. And if I teach and try to teach verse by verse, eventually I'm going to deal with some things that are uncomfortable. You'll have to deal with some subjects that are a little bit harder to deal with than others. But that is a good balanced diet. And sometimes you have to deal with things, and the pastor in his preaching has to deal with some things that are uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for him. I heard Brother John Pruitt, matter of fact, said this. He said, people admire men like Billy Graham who get up and speak to 10 or 15,000 people, and that's admirable. It is. But how about get in a room with 10 or 15 people and point out sin that is in that church body? Now, that takes guts to do that.
Amen.
And I don't know if anybody has any idea what it's like to be back here before you get in the pulpit just ready to throw up sick. Gordon, I know
Amen,
what it is.
Brother.
Your stomach tossing and turning and flipping and rolling because you're afraid how what you're going to. And you want to preach the book, you want to be faithful, but you don't know how people are going to receive it. Up at nights, praying over it and worrying over it and anxious over it. Anybody, pastor's wife, will appreciate that some. And the pastor will. That's just the way it is. But anyway, you know, the relationship that exists between the pastor And the church is unique in my mind. I don't know of any other relationship that's exactly like that. I would just challenge you to stop and think that the balance, to try and strike a balance that is an appropriate biblical balance of taking a role of leadership, but not lording over God's people, not trying to rule them with a rod of iron, but trying to lead the church, not trying to dictate to everybody how they live and what they do, but preaching biblical principles. Sometimes that's a hard tightrope to walk, and sometimes it's hard to know what to do. And that's why I like preaching the book. That's why I like verse by verse, the exposition of going through it. And then it's not just, Brother Lewis is up here saying this, it is the book says that. And that's what I like. But in this relationship, the pastor is to serve as a shepherd, but he's also a sheep. The pastor is to serve as a leader, but at the same time, he too is under the authority of the local church.
Amen.
None of us are outside of the authority of the local church. Not me, none of us are. The pastor has no civil authority over the church, but he has a scriptural mandate to oversee
Amen.
That body. He is not an employee, but he is financially supported
Amen.
By the church. And this relationship, I don't work for you. Now, don't take this wrong, but I don't work for the church. Do you understand? I'm not an employee. I don't punch a clock. But the church financially, and I've said this, supports me so that I'm able
Amen.
To be accessible to you when you need me. You don't pay me to preach. A lot of people, we pay you to preach and we'll tell you what to preach. Oh, you might sell that somewhere else. I'm not buying it. You don't pay me to pray. You don't pay me to preach. You don't pay me to go to the hospital. You support the ministry.
Amen.
And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us that you don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. You don't, those that labor, the workman's worthy of his hire. And those that teach the gospel and preach the gospel should live of the gospel. In an ideal world, every church would have a full-time pastor who is accessible to his people and given over fully to the ministry. In an ideal world. Now, we don't live in an ideal world, do we? And most of our men, most of the churches that are like us, most of us are bivocational. And for many years I was too. And so I just say to you that this relationship between pastor and between church is unique. And sometimes the lines are difficult to understand. It can be complicated. But God's Word is not silent on this. It gives us some direction on how I am to treat you and how you are to treat me. And some of what my responsibilities are as a pastor. And one of the things, and I'm getting into this, one of the primary things that I believe the purpose of the pastor is to provide food for the flock.
Amen.
To feed the sheep. Three times right here. Peter, do you love me? Well, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. I think it's pretty important to the Lord that His men do a good job and strive to do a better job of feeding the sheep.
Amen.
John 21:15. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. And whether or not you like the food, I try to preach the book. Jeremiah, and I just give this quote to you. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 says, the Lord speaking to Israel says, and I will give you pastors. The word pastor just means shepherd. That's all that it means in the New Testament and in the Old as well. But I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. It is my desire to preach to you all the counsel of God.
Amen.
All the counsel of God. The Apostle Paul stood before the Ephesian elders, for the men at Ephesus said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Amen.
So his responsibility is provide food by preaching the Word. What did Paul tell Timothy? Preach the Word. Preach the Word. I wish to go. Can I, for just a minute, go on a little bit of a tirade? I wish that I could go back to a younger, former version of myself and say, Kiger, preach the Word.
Amen.
Don't preach psychology. Don't preach politics. Don't preach all of these things that are popular in the world. Preach the Word.
Amen.
And not only would I say that to me, I'd say that to a lot of men who are in the pulpit today. Preach the Word. preach this book. God's sheep need God's food, and this is it. This is the food that God provides for His saints. Preach the word. Apostle Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. From, like one person said, all the way from Genesis 1:1 to the maps. Preach the word. Preach the word to the close of Revelation. Preach the word. I don't know, you know, some may say, you know, you too much on this or too much on that. One of the things about preaching expositionally and going verse by verse is it offers that balanced diet. Because I tell you, I've been around a lot of preachers who have a soapbox and they don't realize it, but they get back on that same soapbox over and over and over again. When you just preach purely topical messages, and there's a place, and we're going to preach a topical message tonight. There's a place for topical messages. But we'll preach that topical message by developing what God's Word says about it, not just some pretty outline that I've come up with. I wish men would spend as much time studying the Bible as they did coming up with all these gorgeous alliterated outlines. And I'll get off of that in just a minute. But preachers, preach the Word. Teachers, teach the Word. Those of you who are involved in this, teach the Word. That's what God's people. What is going to change lives? What's going to grow God's saints? It's the Word. It's this book. Feed, let me give this to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, verse 2, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. Matter of fact, let's just turn over there because I'm going to pull a few things out of there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me see if I can get over here myself. 1 Peter. If you get to the maps, you've gone too far. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look, let's just read the first three verses there together. 1 Peter 5 verse 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Now notice these words, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example, and samples to the flock. Amen. There's so much to be said in that little portion of Scripture, a lot that we could bring out of this. One of the things is feed the flock of God. It's not meat. Let me just say this as a word of praise. And I've said this before, but I'll reiterate this. It's not meat. You get over to Acts chapter 6, I believe. The apostles, when they get ready to set up deacons in the church, and they said it's not meat that we should leave off the Word of God to wait on tables. Amen. And to me, you all, and I just say this as a word of praise, I haven't had to take care of anything, the physical requirements of the building and these things. I just haven't had to do hardly anything like that. It gets taken care of faithfully, week by week, and you know, the grounds are looked after, the buildings are looked at, things like this, and they're done. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. So that frees the men of God up to study the Word and to pray and prepare sermons to feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Taking the oversight. Does that mean that the pastor is to set himself up as a little king in his own kingdom? No. But it does say take the oversight, to take a role of leadership, to direct the church. And I believe that a preacher who's worth the salt, a preacher who has the right balance of love, zeal, humility, but also a passion for the things of God, he doesn't have a desire to lord God's people, but to lead God's people.
Amen.
And there's a difference in that. And I think we've been together a short period of time, but long enough that you can, you know, my life's pretty much an open book. You know, I think I am who I am. And I don't try to lord over God's people. I just don't. I don't try to tell you what to do in your personal life. But I'm going to try to lead this church. God will help me. I want to try to lead the church. You know what you call a man who is a leader and he doesn't have any followers. He's just a man out on the walk. I don't want to be that. I believe God's called his men to lead the people.
Amen.
To lead them. To take the oversight thereof. I'm not talking about as a dictator. I'm not talking about, there's some men that are that way. But I try not to be that way. As I stand here and talk these things with you, there's always, I've been at this thing long enough to learn, there's always going to be some that are never happy with what you do, so it's just, you know, it is what it is, and you just go on. Some will say he needs to do more, some will say he needs to do less, and he needs to be harder on this, needs to be, there's always going to be that, you know, that's just how it is, and that's okay. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Not trying to lord, but being an example, Peter says, to the flock. May God ever keep me from trying to rule over His people with an iron fist and a sharp tongue. There have been too many of God's men that have had a cold heart and a hot lip and a hot mouth, and that's not the way it ought to be. He should rule. He should rule. Can I use that word? It's a Bible word. Can I use that? He should rule. The pastor should rule with gentleness, humility, love. But also sometimes he has to stand up in the face of the extortioner and say, get out of God's house. Amen. Now that's Christ did that. He tied a whip together and run the extortionist out.
Amen.
The Bible does say, them that sin, rebuke before all that others may fear.
Amen.
There's a time that love stands up on its feet and says, we cannot allow this. And listen, sometimes I'm faced with things that I don't know what to do. I don't know. You better, you know, just pray for your pastor. Things that come my way, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond. I try to be cautious and careful to seek God's leadership in things. I say this not to, you know, I love what I do. I love what I do. You know, I'm like the Moses' mother, you know. All she wanted to see was her son, see little Moses live. And not only that, God allowed her son to live, but she turned around and got paid to nurse him and take care of him, you know. And the very thing that she yearned for, she ended up getting rewarded for. And that's how I feel. I love what I do.
Amen.
But the Apostle Paul asked this, who's sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient? Some of the things that come at you, who's sufficient for you? I don't know what to say. There's just some things that I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to direct people. There are situations that come up, you know, with members and non-members, and I want to be careful to be biblical, to be scriptural. Should we allow this, not allow that? There's some things that the Bible just doesn't come right out and say, this is okay and this is not. There are principles there, and we try to abide by them. And some people are, you know, going to question the decisions that are made, and others that won't. But I want to try to do what's right. I want to try to do what's right. You know, and I'll mess up along the way, but God's man is to preach things, even if they're not comfortable. Let's look at this. 2 Timothy. I quoted this just a moment ago, but I want to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 4. Sometimes things come up and I don't know what, I just don't know sometimes what to do. And here, I know I'm, you know, beating a dead horse. I've already said this. But you be patient. If I make a poor decision, be patient with me. If I do something, maybe you don't know, just be patient. I try to be patient with you. And so just try to be patient with me. This book tells us some things. This book teaches us some things. This book lays some things out for us. Who do we allow to participate in? Here's one of the things. Who do we allow to participate in our services? Do we allow non-members to take a role in our services? Do we let those that are outside of our particular faith? You understand there's just some things that come up that are not always easy to answer. This young man that's been coming and singing for us.
Amen.
I'd like to see God make a Baptist out of him. I'd prefer that he be a Baptist if he's going to get up and sing for us.
Amen.
But I want to be careful that I don't run the man off. When they came to me and said, "Preacher, can I get up and sing?" If I'd have said no to him, he'd left and never set foot back in this building.
Right.
You know that? So sometimes it takes, I prefer this, but sometimes I think we have to show some meekness, some tenderness, some compassion. Show maybe, and I don't want to tell the church is wrong. I don't want to lead the church wrong. But sometimes when I say, best I know to do, this is the right thing to do. I just use that as an example because there are other things that come up like that. I like Baptist churches to use Baptist people. I just like that.
Amen.
But I don't, you know, but you got to extend an olive branch to people and show them some love. Don't be so hard and callous that you know, we're right. Nobody else is going to skirt into heaven except for us. And that mentality will never bring people to in these doors. It won't. So I try to, you know, where's that balance? I try to find it, and I, you know, maybe I go make some decisions necessarily you wouldn't make. I know some of my Baptist brethren wouldn't agree with, but that's all right. I stand before God. I don't stand before them.
Amen.
And I'll answer to God and not answer to them. I've got a king, and he's sitting on a throne, and it's not some man. It is the God man, and that's who I'll answer. Anyway, so when I say there are things, just stuff like that, some of the things that could rift a church. You understand that? Some of the things that could split a church wide open. And I spend half my life praying that God would just give us peace and unity within this church. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. My poor old Bible's getting tore up here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. But don't get it. I like my Bible. Don't do anything. I charge thee, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's part of feeding the flock. Reproving, rebuking, exhorting, encouraging, doing this with longsuffering, and do it with patience, love, and you teach it, and you do it with doctrine. And then he says, verse number 3, and I believe this is the day and age in which we live, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they, after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. He says to Timothy, you understand when Paul writes this letter to Timothy, Timothy is now the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Okay? Look what he says in verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work. I got that little word work circled in my Bible. People think that old preacher don't work. If he does, he only works 1 or 2 days a week. Come on, go with me. Come on, go with me. We'll find out. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So what is the responsibility of the pastor? Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. I pick at Miss Pat. I tell her, I said, I can't even go to the dentist without somebody telling me all their problems. You know, it's tempting. It's tempting sometimes to leave the preacher at home. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. You heard about the old preacher who took his car to get it worked on? And he went down there to the mechanic, and the mechanic charged him way on up there. And when the preacher drove his car home, they hadn't done the first thing to it. So he took it back down there. He told them about it. And they said, "What is it, preacher?" And he said, "Y'all didn't fix this thing, and I paid this." And they said, "Oh, you know, we must be a different part." So they charged him way on up there again. He paid for it. And he left, and on the way home, car breaks down. So he walks back up there to the mechanic shop, and they said, "What is it now, preacher?" And the man said, "Oh, no, I left the preacher at home." So in other words, it's tempting sometimes to leave the preacher at home. My little episode over with the Pizza Hut and Perry the other night made me want to leave the preacher at home. I'm going to put this on the internet, and I hope they shut the doors. I'm just kidding. I don't mean that. But they did get under me and get my flesh riled up. But anyway, sometimes it's tempting to leave the preacher at home. Be instant in season and out season. I can't leave the preacher at home. We went over that piano recital this afternoon. I'm sitting there minding my own business. The lady says, "Is there a minister in the house?" I'm looking around. You know, I punched out. You know what I'm saying? What happened, Wally? Get up in front of 150 people I never met and pray. It's okay. You understand? I don't mind. None of you should mind that either if you say, let men pray everywhere with living up. But you just never punch out. Be instant in season and out of season.
Amen.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. Do the work of an evangelist. We support Bob Jones. He's a missionary evangelist. What does he do? He travels and he preaches.
Amen.
Like this or not, I'm going to do some traveling and some preaching.
Amen.
That is part of the work of an evangelist. Let that just stew a little while. My first responsibility is to this church. Well,
Amen.
First responsibility to the Lord, but then it's to this church.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
You have called me here, and I'm going to pastor. Yeah, I'm going to try to pastor, but I'm also going to go preach some places when God opens doors. I'm going to do it, and you can gripe and grumble and kick and complain all you want to, and it ain't going to change it. I'm still going to do it.
Amen.
God called me to the ministry, and I'm going to go preach some places.
Amen.
Now, I don't try to be gone a whole lot. I've been gone 3 Sundays this year. 3 Sundays. And that's all I... Paul Jackson asked me the other day if I'd come hold a week meeting for him. You know what an honor it is
Amen.
To be asked to go hold a week meeting for a church? I told him I wouldn't go. It was in December, that meeting they got coming up. He said, "Would you come?" And I said, "I can. I don't want to miss another Sunday this year." Next year, I said, "You ask, I'll probably go."
Amen.
But that's part of doing the work of an evangelist. Seeing the need of this community, but not only this community, but also preaching other places.
Amen.
And anyway, I haven't really caught any grief here over that. I really have. We're still honeymooning, you know. I don't know how long the honeymoon will last, but I hadn't really caught a lot of grief, but I have heard people say, you know, "I expect my preacher to be at church every Sunday." You know something? I need preaching too.
Amen.
I need preaching T-O, and I need preaching T-O-O. I hope you can follow. I need preaching too. I need preached at, and then I need to be fed as well. I need somebody to feed me the word.
Amen.
And so I'm going to go places and I'm going to preach as I feel led by the Lord. And I'm going to try to seek the Lord's leadership in that, okay? Sometimes, that means saying no. I never understood. I get on this just because it's a little bit of a soapbox of my own. I would think that churches would be flattered that there are other churches that want to hear their pastor.
Amen.
Instead of mad about it. I would be concerned if I was a member of a church and nobody ever did invite him somewhere
Amen.
Else. I might think he must not do much preaching and nobody ever wants to hear it.
Amen.
All right. So his responsibility is to preach the word. And since we're having so much fun, let's just go ahead and dig a little more. And then it is to preach the message that God gives him. Whatever that is. Say, I'm still from that old school where I believe God burdens his men with messages to speak. There have been times that I've got up in the pulpit and I know just to assure that there's a nose on my face that God has given me a message for that hour to preach.
Amen.
And the day comes, and when and if the day comes, that you think it's your responsibility to tell the preacher what to preach, be silent. Be still. I'm not going to be dictated to what to preach. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. Again, I'm not trying to be mean. Let me come at it this way. If there's something you'd like to hear, I had a lady come to me and say, "Look, I've always wanted to hear about that third heaven. Could you pray and see if the Lord will give you liberty?" And I like somebody talking to me that way. "Would you pray about this? I'd like to hear a message on this if the Lord gives you liberty to preach on it. Could you stay?" So I did. It took 2-3 months. I studied on that third heaven. And you know something beautiful? I preached that message, and a woman wasn't even there to hear it. Which that was no shocking thing, but anyway. But what am I supposed to do? Anyway, listen, you know, I don't mind at all. Somebody saying, you know, preacher, I've got some questions. I'd encourage you. If there's something you got questions about, write me a note, put it in the plate, hand it to me. Study on this, pastor, if God gives you liberty, I'd like to learn. I don't have any. If there's something, you're the sheep. And if there's something you're yearning to learn about, by all means, ask. It may take me a year to get there. But if the Lord directs me, I'll get there. But anyway, you know, old Balaam, who wasn't much to account for anything, at least he did say this much. He said, "What the Lord saith, that will I speak." And every preacher that's worth anything will say, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. What God burdens his heart with, that's what he'll preach. And then it's his responsibility to feed the flock by preaching the word and providing the saints with food, but to pastor the people. I got to get going. To pastor the people. And part of pastoring is getting to know the sheep. Some sheep want to be known a little more than others. Some are more receptive than others. Others, people that I pastored in Tennessee, I was in their house dozens of times. Others, I never set foot in the house. People are different. People are just different. And it ain't that I didn't try. When I said I'd like to come by, now's not a good time. So if that's how they want to be, I'm not going to knock the door down. You understand? I think it'd be good. Every little sheep's different. All your little sheep, everybody's a little different. I'm a little different. When I say you're a little different, I don't mean you're a little different. I mean you're different. You understand? Everyone's unique. This little sheep has a black spot on his ear, and this little sheep's got a little bit of dark spot on his belly. Everybody's different. And I think the pastor, the people, you need to try to get to know the people. And that's something I hope to develop over the years as we are together, is to get to know the people, to pastor them. And that word pastor in the Bible just means a shepherd. The sheep get to know the shepherd get to know the sheep. There are several uses of, in my mind, and my Bible study has shown me that there are five words speaking of the pastorate. In the New Testament, is the word pastor, is the word bishop, is the word overseer, is the word elder or elders, and the word steward. And these are the words that God uses to describe the office of the pastor and the duty of the pastor and his role as a shepherd or under-shepherd under Christ. He is to lead and direct them as Christ would lead and direct them, to point them in the way of righteousness, in the path of holiness. He is to serve as a bishop, and that is where we get, where that word episcopal comes from. It means to serve as a superintendent or an overseer. It means to look over or watch over. The word overseer, a pretty self-explanatory word in overseer, that is in the Acts 20:28. The word elder is used, 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And then the word steward. A bishop must not be blameless as the steward of God. So all of these are words that describe the office of the pastorate and describe his role as a pastor. Let me press on. And it is his duty to protect the sheep. Try to protect the sheep. It seems like there's some little sheep just love to go running out of the pen. They're not happy in the safety of the fold. Just love to go running out of the pen. And I guess some people get the idea it's the shepherd's job to go chase every one of them. Sometimes it's a battle to know, when to chase and when to let go. That's hard to know sometimes. The responsibility to protect the sheep is carried out by the preaching of the word. That word is that cleansing agent in our lives. That is what purifies us. It is that which draws us to Christ. And preaching of the word helps to protect the sheep. It protects them from heresy. It protects them from doctrinal error. It protects them from sin. It protects them from self-indulgence. It protects them from selfishness. The preaching of the Word helps to protect them. So that's one means by which God's man is to try to protect the people. But also realizing that sometimes that protection and trying to look over the sheep, sometimes that enemy attacks from without and sometimes the enemy is from within. Let me see. I don't have it in my text here, in my outline. But I believe I can find it. Acts chapter 20, I think is what it is. Let's see. Yes, there we go. Acts chapter 20, if you want to look at this. Look what the Apostle Paul says. Acts 20, 27 is where he says, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Notice what he says, Acts 20, verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock," A-L-L. That's important that a pastor treat everyone the same, or try to treat everybody the same, "to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers," that's that word I just used, "to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Notice what he says in verse 29. "For I know this," and this is Paul at Ephesus, getting ready to leave there. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." The enemy from without, but that's not all. Notice what he says. "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." That's the enemy from within. It was true in Ephesus. It's been true down through the years. Don't be that one. He says, therefore watch and remember. And he tells them that after 3 years he spent with them, mourning them night and day with tears. And to try to protect the flock. People don't get upset if the preacher preaches a doctrine, because doctrine needs to be preached. Part of the reason of preaching doctrine is to protect the flock. And it is to protect the flock from those that would come in and cause doctrinal division. Those that would bring in heresies. Those that would try to mislead. And if that, sometimes that can come from without, sometimes it can come from within. Most of the time, this is my history. I've been around churches 35 years. I've been around the Lord's churches this long. Most of the time, when a church is attacked from without, they bond together against that enemy from without. Most of the time. Sometimes that outside enemy is another preacher. I've seen this, where he don't want to mind his own business. He wants to try to run another church. I don't believe that's right. I don't have any basis for any much of that. Sometimes it's other churches try to dictate to other churches what they ought to do. And that shouldn't be. But sometimes that enemy's from without, and sometimes that enemy comes from within. And so God's man tries to protect the people from all enemies, foreign or domestic. Love and unity and the desire to please our God keeps us from strife. I'm getting ready to close. It is to prepare you. What is the duty of the pastor? To preach, to protect, provide, and prepare you to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Prepare you to get out in the community.
Amen.
Prepare for you to go out and be salt and light into a dying world. To prepare you for witnessing, for talking to people about Christ, for knowing not just what you believe, but why you believe it. It's important not to just know what you believe, but why you believe it. And then being able to go to the book and show it. And part of the pastor's job in preaching and going through the book is to prepare you to do the work of the ministry. We learn from the study of Moses, it's too much for one man. One man can't do it. It takes a group of people. And that's what, and you, I just read just Ephesians 4:11-15, that's what it says. To prepare you to do the work of the ministry. And then this is my final, and then to pray. What is the duty of the pastor? I could give you a list, and you could make a list, and you would say some things that I haven't, I'm sure. But one of the most important things that I believe that is my duty and delight to do is to pray for you.
Amen.
To pray for you. Can I want to say this without sounding like I'm bragging, but I'm not. But I usually start right back there in that corner and start pew by pew praying for you.
Amen.
and I start praying for your families. And I pray for your children and your grandchildren and those that I know and those that you've told me about. Do I pray as much as I should? No, I don't pray for you as much as I should. But I do pray for you. I want God's blessing for you and your children and their lives. God's leadership and what to teach and what to preach that will edify the saints and build them up and be a blessing and not a hindrance. Sometimes preachers can be a hindrance to the work rather than a blessing. I don't want to do that. But to pray. And there's been a lot of mornings in the last 14 months that God has stirred me up about 4 o'clock in the morning. Anybody, brother, you know about them 4 a.m. Holy Spirit wake-up calls? Many a time, about 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why it's 4 in the morning, but it's usually about 4 in the morning. The Holy Spirit says, wake up, start praying for them. And I've done it, and I will do it, and I delight to do it. And God, that knows my heart. I want to be a good pastor.
Amen.
I want to please Him first and do what's right before Him.